Hello and welcome back to Does It Roll? We left last week on a cliffhanger. However, we're going to pick up the story sometime later in a completely different place. Our camera is going to zoom in on a little boat floating gently across a lake. The water is as flat as mirror glass, reflecting the scintillating azure blue of the midsummer sky above. The occasional ripple flows out as the boat floats towards the shore, and lying on the sunbaked wood is Zelfiz. Welcome back to the show, Owen. How are you doing? And tell us a little bit about Zelfiz.
I'm good. I'm doing very well. Zelfiz is my level 5 gnome. Is he gnome?
He's a gnome.
Sorry. I play somebody halflings. It felt wrong. Gnome, artificer. The brains of the group, I guess, for lack of a better term. Sure. On a quest for black ice around the Icewind Dale is kind of his goal, and to escape.
Well, as he lies black on this, well, in the sun, it seems that the rhyme has finished and you've been released from your icy prison. A light breeze blows through your long hair and it brings colour to your pale cheeks. With your eyes closed, you detect a scent. The moist early sun at summer air is fragrant with the pine trees that circle the lake near Lonely Wood. And they're growing so close to the water that some have toppled in and others dangle cobra-thin roots into the warm water below. As the boat touches down on a secluded beach by a cabin, you sit up as if waking from a terrible dream. The tiny beach is made up of hundreds of multicoloured rocks, some as large as boulders, but most are tiny and worn by the gentle lapping of the water. A few feet away is a well-worn path leading up through the trees to a little cabin that you recognise as home.
Cool. So I'm kind of, after just sitting up in this boat, as it beached itself on the shore, is that?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to walk into home, kind of, because the last Zelfiz remembers was he was in what may or may not have been a dream in the Icewind Dale.
Mm. Well, this is still Icewind Dale, but this is the normal like summer Icewind Dale, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to walk into the cabin, confused but relieved, I guess.
Well, your feet sort of crunch upon the soft rock. Soft rocks? Your feet crunch upon the rocks that feel soft as you're sort of... They're so tiny, they sink right down and they're sort of slightly enveloped in the warm water of the lake. There's a small wisp of smoke floating up from the chimney and a delicious smell of roasting fish greets you as you enter the cabin. You said you were going in, right?
Yeah, 100% walking in. Walking in confidently, but very aware of what may or may not be in the cabin.
You sort of glance around you, and for a moment you do kind of worry that could this be a trap? But no, it's lit by beams of bright sunshine. It contains the familiar clutter of wires and tubes and sort of half-finished mechanical devices where you left them to start a new project. But in the centre of this large table, there's a place that's been cleared. And as you approach, you see that there are pieces of black ice, all connected by softly glowing strands, and there's this like light hum in the air. Above them, a transparent image of 10 towns is somehow rendered in the glowing light from these wires. And as you look closer, you see that there are a number of pinpricks of light near Lonely Wood on this like 3D map. Somehow you know that these pinpricks of light identify where a new piece of black ice can be found.
Okay, so I understand what I'm looking at in the sense I know that there's black ice there, but still, it's new to me. I don't remember creating this or building this.
It all sort of feels familiar, like a dream. Like it's like, oh, that like. I know what this is and I know how it got here, but I can't remember the bit that came before me being in the boat. But yeah, you know that this is a way of constructing a mechanism to locate black ice nearby.
So I think the f- first things Elfies would do would look for like a scrap of paper and some sort of like a pencil or bit of charcoal to try and take notes of where those pinpricks of lights are.
So you sort of look around and there's like a bit here and a bit there, but there's a stack of papers on top of Lady Pen, who's sort of in the corner, slightly covered in dust, actually. Like she's not been used recently.
Oh, I feel guilty. I'm going to run over and just kind of getting slightly more, not frantic, but a little more rushed, worrying now that this might be a dream because it's kind of cloudy what's happening here. I'm just kind of leafing through the papers to see what it is, if it makes any sense.
So you grab onto the papers and turn your back to head back to the table, and you hear this like grinding metal sound, and you spin round, and Lady Penguin's stomach has like a hidden door is opened, revealing within this like network of wires and cogs and glowing tubes is the black ice that you installed in her to power her and add her extra powers. And this shard of black ice is pulsating, and within it you can see a figure.
Help me, Obi-Wan.
Oh, hey, Zalfiz.
Oh.
How are you?
Terrifying.
Hello?
Hey, Zalfiz.
You're muted.
Are you muted? We can't hear you.
That's a real shame.
Can you hear me now, Zalfiz?
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, it's so good,
to see you.
Likewise?
Listen, I've been following all your exploits. Oh, boy, it sure has been exciting what you do out there.
I like to think so.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's great. And I think you want to find more, right? You want to find more of the black guys, don't you?
Yeah. Who are you?
Oh, listen, I'm... It's hard. It's hard to remember who I am. I feel like I knew at one point, when I was whole, when I was together. I knew who I was then. Right now, it's all really confusing.
Yeah, you're telling me.
But it's okay because I know how to fix all of it.
Fix all of what? All of it looks pretty fixed. There's no frost maiden. There's no snow.
She'll come back. She'll come back. I'm the only thing that can stop her.
What do you mean? You're not making sense.
The black eye stops her. You know that. You've been looking for it, right?
Yeah. That's why I've been looking for it. Not to make myself famous.
Oh, that's amazing. You're going to save everyone, Zalfiz. You're going to save them all. You just have to find the rest of the black ice, and I can show you where it is.
Is it not just, like, the map?
Well, that's some of it, but I know where all of it is. I can sense where it is. I can show Lady Penguin, and she can show you.
I mean, yeah, sure, that seems great. But, what do you get in return? Like, why?
I'm so excited we agree. I just want to be whole again, Zalfiz. I just want to be together. You understand that, don't you? I just want to be whole, Zalfiz.
I guess I understand it. Never not been whole.
I'm so glad we've come to an agreement. And puts their hand on the edge of the stone, and like the edge of the stone warps to form their hand, where you could place your own hand within that handprint.
Oh no, I don't like this at all. I guess because it's like a weird dream. Like at this point, I'm pretty convinced it's a dream. I am going to touch, like, reach out my hand and like interlock fingers. I guess is open handed.
Oh. Gosh, you've made me so happy, Zalfiz. I'm so glad we're in agreement. We'll talk soon, Zalfiz. I'll see you soon.
Cool. Bye. Oh, Ram, I did not like that at all. That felt awful.
So, as you kind of, the picture fades away and you jerk up with a start and you're in a tavern. Around you, there's a hustle and bustle as a serving maid is bringing sort of small lumps of what seem to be foul-smelling gruel to different tables. The room is dimly lit by these whale oil lanterns. And as you look up blearily, you see on the table in front of you, maybe in the kind of a pool of ale, you've sketched out the design that you saw on your table, the design that would allow you to connect shards of black ice together to detect more. And at that moment, Graham approaches, looking rather upset. Welcome back to the show, Curran. How are you doing? And tell us about Thank Graham.
Graham is a human rogue who, you know, is very happy because he's eliminated a rival. Lee, farewell. Not really, though. Good riddance. At the same time, I suppose, I'm usually wearing a big coat. He's a rogue. And I'm in this tavern and I've got a bit of food in a plate in front of me and I've just been overcharged. I sit down and I slam down my plate. Zalfis, I really don't think they like us very much. The way they look at us. People.
Thank God. It was awful. Who doesn't...
What's this? This thing on the table.
I just... That's... it's nothing. It's nothing. Look. Where's my black ice? And Zalfis is going to look for the shard of black ice he kind of has that he's going to use to make something with at some point, and he kind of feels it in his pocket and he relaxes.
My understanding is the shard of black ice inside Lady Pen. Didn't you upgrade her to Lady Pen 3.0?
Yes, ooh. I did. But when I say a shard, it's like a tiny little shard. It's almost so small. It's got no real use. It's just something he has to kind of show people to say, look, I'm looking for more of this. And once it's in his pocket, he's like, okay. He gets less tense, but he's like, it was awful. It was like lonely wood, but it was sunny. There was a lake. It was warm, but it was...
You had a vision?
I guess. And I'm assuming Zalfis at this point has been drinking. by drinking, I mean he's had a pint, because he's a half pint himself. He's a little tipsy. He's like, I mean, it was a dream. No vision. I don't know where... it hasn't shown me anything of value. And it's going to look, sit down here. We got to make a plan. We're already meeting the Harpers. And he's going to grab... handkerchief and kind of take note of what he's drawing on the table, but wipe it up so Graham can't see it. Kind of, Graham doesn't notice, but there's almost a little franticness to it, almost like a sense of paranoia.
Oh no, I'm noticing that you're a bit off.
it's just a little selfish.
You've been a bit strange since Kaer Koenig. You all right? I'm just asking as a friend. I'm not trying to.
Look, that Brace Treebright, he was dead. Everyone was dead. I mean, we made a mass grave, threw a few people in it. I'm sorry I'm not all sunshine and roses. It's kind of a bit, it's messed up. It's just, it's a lot to deal with. I came here to find some magical ice to build some magical items. I mean, there was an ice giant. There was a weird fire caterpillar. It was there's a lot to process in the last week.
I get it.
Good, because I really don't. This is it makes no sense to me. I'm drinking. I am very drunk. It's just, we need to meet the Harpers. And are they going to take away my harp, my badge? I don't know. This isn't really professional.
You get a
this
badge?
Isn't me. It's a pin. It's more of a pin. Really
you actually do have a silver harp, which identifies you to other Harpers. But you have been summoned to East Haven by the leader of the Harpers with the symbol of the Black Harp, which shows the utmost emergency. Something terrible is happening, and they need your help immediately. And as you glance around and eat your sort of meagre stew, which Graham did cost you way more than it should have done, whether this is because food is now very short in 10 towns, or it is, or because you aren't a member of East Haven, you're not sure. Yeah. But as you do eat your food, you get noticed that the locals are giving you some quite evil looking looks. Soon you notice a Goliath come down a side staircase that leads to the upper rooms. And she approaches your table. Lindy, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to play with you again. Can you tell us about your character?
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. So Runa Dawnbreaker, she is like a 7-foot say 7'3" Goliath lady. She's wearing like a chainmail shirt, like tunic really, with no sleeves, kind of like a fur cape that's kind of tossed over one shoulder, bald with many tattoos and an eye patch, and maybe walks with just the slightest limp and comes down the stairs and looks around and then sees who she's looking for. Walks over to the table with very heavy footsteps and just looks down at these two and says, "Room is ready."
All right.
Hello. Thank you. Where is room? Where is their room? Picking up on their accent almost.
Yeah. Where is room?
And she'll turn around and just walk back up the stairs. They're not following.
Imagine we should follow Zelfis.
I guess so. She's not not very polite. Slide off the seat and.
But she is practical.
And I like that. And we I assume like Zelfis is like moping kind of up the stairs, like dragging his feet, kind of somewhere between like. Just clearly shaken from his week and a little tipsy.
Okay. Unlike many of the towns in Tenstown, East Haven isn't built on the permafrost. It's actually built on a large shelf of rock. So rather than all the houses and inns and buildings being on stilts, these are much more what you'd think of sort of as medieval fantasy buildings. And Runa leads you up to the top floor. So three floors up. Well, initially a closed door, but she pushes it open to reveal what appears to be a cozy attic study. There is a desk at the far side of the room with its back to a chair with its back to a large open window looking out across the twinkling lights of the town. There's a bookshelf with a few meager novels there. There's a fire burning in the hearth, and leaning against it is the hunched form of Gon. Niall, welcome back to the show. Can you tell everyone a bit about what Gon looks like after his ordeals?
Gon looks gaunt. He just looks worn out and tired. Gon, for people who aren't familiar with him, is an 8-foot tall firbolg. Scruffy, even scruffier now, just like disheveled beard. Maybe even like a streak of gray going through part of his hair and in his beard you can see scattered in. And he's kind of got a icy gray blue skin and he is exhausted and yeah, just sitting in the corner haggard.
With that, Zelf is going to run up to Gon and go, Gon, what are you, like, we weren't expecting to see Gon here, right?
No.
Gon, what are you doing here? What are you doing in East Haven? How do you survive?
This is where I like just lunge forward and give Gon a big hug.
You're very quick to trust, aren't you?
No. I'm checking you for weapons.
Okay.
What's happened? It is you, isn't it, Gon?
Well, what do you mean? It is me. Of course it's me.
Well, you remember Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came back pretending to be you.
Oh. Bruce Lee again?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. I'd love to say I knew what happened. The last thing I remember is falling. I woke up on in the middle of nowhere and just wandered aimlessly until I found this town, and I recognized the harp pin on some of the people here, and I just assumed they might be part of the same organization as Zelf is, and one thing led to another, and here we are.
If Harpers in the room are listening, I did not tell him I was part of the Harpers. He figured it out for himself. I did not tell them about our secret society.
So at that moment, the chair at the end of the room turns round, and sat behind the desk is the leader of the Harpers in Ten Towns, and she looks you up and down and goes, "Yes, Zelfis, I'm fully aware of what you have and have not done. Although,
probably the bird chef.
very interested to learn a bit more about your adventures in Caer Connach. I mean, did you manage to recover the black ice from your I can never say this word. Your friend who does the devices like you do.
Not exactly. We're working. First of all, we're acquaintances, like professional rivals, more than anything. No, we didn't recover any black ice from him, or recover him, so to speak. There was genocide. Genocide probably isn't too strong a word in Caer Connach. He's looking at Graham, who has left. No, there he is.
genocide.
There was an attack at the town. Some dark dwarves came down from the mountains and massacred the town. Those that didn't flee were killed.
Everyone was murdered. Every single member of Caer Connach, or may there be some survivors.
I don't know. I don't think so. But like, there's none in the town left. Definitely not.
If they survived, then they fled.
You do remember that there was a trail leading from the town of Caer Connach that split in two, with a group of warriors heading in one direction and then a procession of prisoners heading in the other. So it's possible that a good proportion of the town did survive.
Although I do remember two trails.
I'm gonna stick to my guns. Pretty sure they're all dead.
Okay. Well, this is terrible. Right. As I'm sure you know, the speakers from all the towns other than Caer Connach have gathered here in Easthaven on the request of the new speaker. They've come here to discuss how all the towns can come together to survive the Rhyme. The meeting starts in just over 2 hours. You need to tell them of this new threat. I need one of you to volunteer to stand up in front of the leaders of all of 10 towns and tell this tale. So, Fizz Graham, which one of you do you think is up for the job?
So, Fizz, you've always been the fast talker.
I guess I do.
You've done much talking in this conversation. Yes.
Would you leave? You can't leave talking to these two people, so yes, I guess I will be the talker of the group.
May I apologize? This is Runa, a member of the Goliaths from Sky Tower. I have inducted her into our organization as we're going to need their help in the coming months. The Goliaths and their griffins can provide much help.
Yes,
so
we've been introduced.
Thank you for joining us.
You played goat ball with some of your kind a week back. Great game.
Anyway, Zalfiz, if it's you, take this. And she pulls open a drawer. And in it, there's sort of a rattle as you can hear various objects sort of bump into each other. And she pulls out a card. This is signed by the one of the speakers. It'll get you in. Hang on. And she sort of signs it. And it's definitely not her writing that she's signing it in, and hands it over to you. Right. I need to fill you in on what I've discovered about Easthaven, because there are some very worrying happenings. It all started just under a 10-day ago with the disappearance of the old speaker of Easthaven, Danileth Whalen. She was in charge here, but has disappeared. I have searched everywhere, but I cannot find her. The guards have been acting odd, violent, very out of character. The new speaker, Imdra Argaleth, is the most likely suspect in her disappearance. I've staked out his house the last couple of nights, and very strange. People from the town are entering it at day and night. Not just the guards, but everybody. But to enter, they seem to have to drink something, a tonic or a draught. It's heavily guarded, but I think we need to get in. Anyway, in here I've got a few tools to help you. And at that moment, I need everybody to give me a perception roll.
Okay. I'll go first, if that's okay with everyone.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
Easier names to remember, Joe, no?
These are from the book.
Oh, Nat 20! That's all my luck for the day gone.
Wow. That is incredible. Okay, Linda, do you want to go next?
Sure. This is my speciality right here. That's a four.
Okay. Graham, Corin.
That's a nine.
Okay. Zalfiz.
That is a 12 with plus four. Sorry, okay. 8 plus four.
So Gon and Zalfiz, you both notice... Zalfiz, you notice something. You see something flying towards the window from behind, and it looks like an arrow, although with a glowing tip. And for a moment, you suddenly realize that the tip is a shard of black ice. Gon, you also see that on a nearby rooftop is a black-clad figure. He has an enormous bow, like incredibly big, like almost 8 foot long, who has launched this arrow towards the room. As the arrow strikes the leader of the harpers in the back, it ignites in an enormous blast of fire that roars through the room. I need everybody to give me dexterity saving throws. Let's do it in the same order. Let's start with Gon.
Can I have advantage because I saw it coming?
No.
Oh. We're in a shot.
I think that was a fair thing to ask. All right. Oh, no, I rolled with advantage. Sorry. Doesn't matter. They're both terrible rolls. I get
the total, the total roll of two dice was nine.
Okay. Lindy, do you want to go next?
Sure. This is my other strong suit and speciality right here. That's a 12.
A 12. That's not a pass either. Graham?
Here we go. Eight.
Wow. And Zalfiz.
Oh,
12.
Okay, that is everybody failing, so everybody takes the full blast of the fireball, which is 22 points of damage.
Oh my god.
Cool.
In my defense, I am a little drunk.
And the room is engulfed in flames, and for a moment there's this white light, and your eyes are kind of completely absorbed with this power, and as you kind of look around yourself, sort of stumble up from the ground, the room is filled with smoke. The leader of the harpers is bent over the desk, just a burning corpse, and gone with
so
that 20.
Dead.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
She's been hit by a magical arrow, which exploded a fireball within her.
Badass.
But gone with your 20, you can see this figure running across the rooftops, getting away.
I point to the figure and I'm like, "We need out there. The person who shot the arrow, they're getting away on the rooftops." And Gon is going to run towards the window, and he is going to, let me find what animal I'm looking for. I want to basically turn into a giant cat, so like not a lion, but like a tiger or something like that.
Or a lynx or something,
Amazing. Leopard. Okay, so
I'll do a
snow leopard.
There's a lynx thing here that I can just use.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So you leap from the window. It's a 15-foot gap to the nearby roof with a three-story drop below. The roof you're jumping to.
I'm transforming to the before I jump.
is snow-covered. Does anyone else feel able to make this jump?
Yeah, I think Graham's going to make that jump.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do this as a split party, and let's do it as a skill challenge. So this is going to be 5 successes versus 5 failures. You can see this character leaping across the roofs with inhuman agility. Who would like to do the first challenge? So we're almost going to do it together. So if one makes a jump, the next one does as well. I think we'll do it as a split party. So Gon and Graham, who wants to go first?
I think Gon, since he saw everything first, he moved first. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, first challenge. Are we already on the other roof? Did we make it across?
No. It's gonna. The first one is the jump.
Okay. So I guess I will do that. What do we roll for that kind of stuff?
Acrobatics or it's a skill challenge. So basically, you need to use any skill you want. If you want to use a spell, you need to describe it as an arcana roll. You need to get 5 successes over 5 failures. And the only rule is, in terms of skills, is that you can't use the skill that your partner just used before.
Okay, so let me just get this. I'll do a. God damn it! Get the sheet up here. I'll do a. Yeah, I'll do a jump. I'll do a acrobatics across to the other roof.
Nice, let's have it.
Oh man, I thought You know what? Can I do athletics instead?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, cool. And here we go. So I rolled a 11 plus 3. I got a 14.
Okay, that's a success. You leap across the gap, and when you land on the roof, you find yourself sliding down because it is at an angle, but you keep your balance, and you can see that the character on the other one has jumped to a lower roof and is trying to get down to the street below. Graham, you've leapt after Gon, and you're following in the footsteps of his incredibly dexterous snow steps of a strange icy cat. That's what do you do for your challenge to try and catch this figure?
I'm going to use my earring to run along the side of the building so that I can stay adjacent with him.
So you can use it.
I'm going to have a bit of rope along a chimney, so I'm going to be ready to jump and then switch it so I can use the momentum.
Love it. Okay. What skill are you going to use?
Probably acrobatics.
Fantastic. I guess give us that roll.
What? Plus six. So that's eight.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So you run along the side of the roof, building up momentum. You flick the rope over the chimney and you swing out into the darkness, and the chimney just breaks, collapsing down to the ground in a spray of mortar and bricks. And you feel yourself flying into the night. Gone. You're around.
How far ahead of me is the person that I'm pursuing?
You'll find them at the end of the skill challenge if you succeed.
Okay.
Currently, they're on. They've managed to send one round below, so one level below, and they're running along a sort of second story roof now.
Joe, can I still see him? Can I have the help and try and attempt to cast grease as a skill for Arcana from the window?
I think probably for this round you can, yeah, because you can see about the window.
If you don't mind, Glenn.
No, I think that works really well.
Yeah, go for it.
God bless you, man. You're some man for failing rolls, so try to help out. With a plus four, I roll.
That'd be arcana.
Let me live my life.
Oh, boy. I crit failed, so I got a 5 total.
Okay, so...
With that, Zalf is going to be practicing his speech for the speaker in 2 hours. So.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you're still in this burning room.
Yeah.
You send this globule of grease through the window in an attempt to try and catch this assassin. It lands on the roof, covering it in this slippery surface. And Gon, distracted by the collapsing chimney, steps on it and feels himself flying across the roof at speed, completely out of control. Niall, you're on 2 failures, 1 success.
Oh, wow, that's not good. All right, well, I guess what can I do but try to get my feet and
Oh, you can use acrobatics. It's the last one.
I can use acrobatics now, yeah. So that's a plus 2. 21. 19 plus 2.
Fantastic. Okay. Do you want to describe a way that you can maybe get... That's such a good success. Is there a way you can rescue Graham as he flies off at speed into the night?
Oh, God. Yeah, sure, actually. Cause, yeah, this is quite a big cat. Basically, what's happening is he's sliding along the grease. He sees the bricks just collapsing and the rope coming loose, and he just grabs the rope in his teeth, trying to pull Graham back in so that at least his momentum will bring him back towards the other wall of the building, all the while digging it claws in to the ground and just like screeching to a halt on this, like just past the patch of grease.
Like, okay.
Claws dug into like the wooden tiles on the roof.
So you can see from this high vantage point, the figure has now reached the slippery snow-covered road below and darts into an alleyway, trying to lose you in the darkness of the side streets of East Haven. Graham, you're round.
So I'm swinging now on the rope because he's caught it in his teeth on the edge of the building.
It sounds like it, yes.
Okay. Wow, right. This is impressive.
If you want,
cat.
You can wait like a few, like it doesn't have to be that moment. You can wait for the rope to swing back round, lower you to the ground and go from there. Like you could use a different skill. You could use investigation or perception. There's other things. It doesn't have to be the moment. It could be a few seconds later.
Okay, so we're gonna take the time to not, you know, fail a roll and kill me. So I'm going to, we'll descend down to the street level and I will attempt to find footsteps to see which alley they went into, maybe investigate to see what I can see.
Nice. Give us that roll.
So that is... Wait.
It's 2 and 2, isn't it? That's what we're up to now.
Yeah. That's a nat 20.
Yeah.
Sort of teetered on the two for a second. Okay, so you see the footsteps and they seem to lead over to what seems to be like a low wall. And there's even like a scrape where his footsteps have gone up, but then you realize that he's actually taken his footsteps, like stepped in his footsteps back and gone down an even smaller alleyway. You haven't been fooled by his trick. And when you look down this alleyway, which is only like a gap between two buildings, only a foot wide, you can see him disappearing into the street beyond. Gone.
Is it still a skill challenge or are we...
Yeah, so we're on 3 successes, 2 failures.
Okay, so what Gon would like to do is follow on the rooftop still, but like he sees where Graham is gone and he's just up. He'd like to stealth along so that I can get to the other side and like hidden without knocking any snow off the roof or anything like that. Just be sneaky so I can be ready at the other end of the alleyway for when the guy comes out.
Oh, nice. Okay. Stealth roll?
Stealth plus... Okay, this one's good. I got plus 6 on this one, so I can roll a 1.
Come on.
Woo! Oh, oh my god! Oh. 19 plus 6, 25. Okay. I'm wasting all of my good rolls right now.
So you leap on soft padded feet to rooftop to rooftop to rooftop. You even kind of leap on one of those sort of like gas street lamps for a moment, and the people below have no idea of your passing, and you reach the roof at the end of the alleyway, and you see this assassin dressed in black leap from the alleyway and grab onto a passing fish cart. It's moving at speed, like unbelievable speed, considering the slippery nature of the floor. And you suddenly realize that it doesn't have a driver. There's no one driving this cart. For some reason, it's going out of control down the street with this guy on the back. Graham, you're on 4 successes, 2 failures.
Wow, so the next one makes it if we get him?
Yeah.
The... Okay.
No pressure.
That's right. Shall I try animal handling? No, that's not. I'm thinking I'm going to try and make him think that he's alerted the authorities. So
you absolutely could do animal handling with the axe beaks that are pulling this cart are going nuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have any advantage on that. Yeah, so he's picking his worst. I said I'm going to try and deceive him and pretend to be the authorities, because he doesn't know that I was following through the same alley side, and he thinks he's lost me with his little footstep deal.
Yeah.
And I'm screaming at him, "Oi, you can't do that here. We better not." I'm trying to convince him that the police are now on his tail, so he stops and takes a look back.
Okay.
He wouldn't stop, but he's turning back, and I'm going to try to close the gap while he's looking.
Okay.
So that is plus 8 and 21.
There that is a success.
Nice.
He looks round and strangely, he doesn't seem worried. He almost seems pleased by the fact that the town guard are following him. He leaps from the back of the cart, and as he does so, it kind of wobbles for a moment and the driver just falls out into the street, and you see there's like an arrow embedded in his neck, and the cart just zooms off into the darkness. And he looks around for a moment, doesn't see any of the guards, and then enters a side building. You do think for a moment he looked at you as he does, and that is the end of the skill challenge. You have succeeded. This building is on the dock over the frozen lake, and it seems to be a warehouse. The building is encrusted with ice. You can see the sort of second story windows are completely frost covered. And he's entered a side door, like not one of the big doors where carriages would go in or maybe wagons. This is just like a side door on the edge of this frozen building. And as you and Gon ponder your next steps, we're going to flick the camera back to Zelfiz and Runa in this burning room.
So Runa saw them like jump onto the rooftops, and while she was confident she could have made the jump, she was not confident in the structural integrity of the roof had she landed on it. And she saw Zalfiz like cast a grease and it just bubble over like and just make a mess. And so I think she goes, ugh. And if it's all right with Zalfiz, she kind of just like scoop him up by the back of like his cloak or whatever, because small gnome, big Goliath lady, and just walk out of the room. That's on fire.
Zelfiz is looking
well,
at this.
Do you want to look in the drawer that she said she had a few extra things in?
Sure. I have to pass it anyways to go to the window to pick up this gnome. So.
Okay. You know,
I'll just pick the drawer. One hand I grab Zalfiz, the other hand I just grab the drawer out and just lumber out of this burning room. Just slide it out of the dresser. Shook. That sounds the easiest. I'll look at it once we're out of the room.
Okay, so the inn downstairs is in chaos, and as you run up, the halfling innkeeper is like, "What the hell is going on? Have you just set a fire in my building?
No, an assassin set fire in your building. Room upstairs on fire, large explosive arrow, friend dead."
Yeah, probably looks at you in terror.
Water.
We need to call the guard. Guards! Yes. Guards! Get the guards! And he starts.
I'd call
runs
the fire brigade
down.
First, maybe.
They ran away on rooftop, so you might want to just worry about fire on third floor first. Oh, and then I'll sit Zelfis down.
Maybe looking for the fire brigade or some authorities with water, and cannons, like war cannons would be good, buckets, damp rags. Zelfis is going to keep walking past.
Something
the
to smother
gate.
Flames.
As the guard is called, you sort of have the you sort of notice that the people around you are not looking friendly at all, and there's this sort of like air of menace around them. Obviously, probably not bothering Runa too much as he towers above them all, but you are aware very much that everyone seems to be looking at you as if you were to blame.
Runa, right? Isn't this?
Yes.
You might notice people staring. We've kind of stopped.
People do that a lot. I am very attractive.
That is true. There is that. Mm. Also, me and my friends kind of solved a few problems on a place. We're kind of like minor celebrities. It's embarrassing. Just don't pay no attention.
I've never heard of you.
No, you haven't, but you're not local. The locals, they love us.
You must be very minor celebrity.
Well, I mean, technically I'm of age, but... Look, I'm just saying, if they're staring at us, just be polite. If they come up and ask to, some questions about the heroes of different towns and 10 towns, we just be polite and it's fine. They don't like...
Why would you assume I would not be polite?
It's just awkward for people who are not used to being famous, I guess. Are we having this conversation where we're walking out of the inn past people who can clearly hear us talking about how I think I'm a celebrity?
And Runa will just be like, this person just must not have gotten a lot of social interaction. This sounds like normal conversations that people have when asking questions about things. And I'll just kind of rummage through the drawer as we walk out.
Okay, so there's two things in there. One of them is a test tube, a sort of a glass alchemical jar, and it's filled with what initially just seems to be water.
Drink it. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
Well,
very thirsty. I was just in a fire. Very thirsty.
The second thing seems to be a black rock or crystal it looks like it's been like broken off a larger part. And Zelfis, you immediately recognize it as a small chunk of black ice. Mm. And it's only maybe sort of a centimeter wide, like it's really tiny, but it's on the end of a thong, like a leather thong that you'd wear around your neck or maybe on a wrist.
That's very important. That's what I need to speak on. That little crystal, I need that for speaking to the speaker. It's the key to everything.
You need your
mouth
to speak to speaker.
This is very true, and you're very... Maybe we should call you Runa the Literal, because that's very literally what you need.
It is Runa Dawnbreaker.
Okay, that is quite a title. Zalf is the practical. Kind of a big deal. But look, I'm going to be explaining about this magical ice. I have this little companion. He's going to put down his bag of holding, and Lady Penguin's going to drive out of the bag of holding, going, she's powered by it. It's the cause and source of all the power that the ice Frost Maiden has. So it would be really, really helpful if I could have that to illustrate my point. Please.
You have not said... Oh, there you are. There is magic word.
Thank you very much. I understand. Manners are important in a crisis. Thank you.
You just said I should be polite. That means you should be polite as well.
Okay, lesson learned, I guess. Thank you. What is that tube? Points at the vial.
It looks thirst quenching. I'm just gonna tilt it a bit. But it's too small to be flask.
It looks just about the right size for me.
Oh yes, you are very small. You would drink small things.
I'm actually above average height for a gnome.
Really?
If we're
just kind of like keep a squat down to like 5 foot difference.
Look, I like, it was obviously important if this was going to be one of the things that could help us. Do I recognize this by looking, like, as Rune is like moving it around and examining it? Do I recognize what's in it?
I mean, in the kind of like flickering light from the gas lamppost next to you. You, and I guess probably from the flaming building at the end of the
like
road.
The background.
I guess there's that sort of silhouetted townsfolk who've set up a crude bucket train where they sort of cracked a hole in the lake nearby, and they're sort of
passing buckets and looking at us just not at the building at all.
Well, you actually look over and you see that three guardsmen are looking in your direction, and the innkeeper is pointing in your way, and you're not sure, but the way that the light of the fire catches their eyes looks like there is a green glow behind them.
Ah, they're jealous. I've seen this before.
They each pull out their swords and start running in your direction. One of them goes, "Halt! Halt there!
We are not moving. We cannot be halted if we are already halted."
Just... again, very literal. This is, I'm enjoying this, but just so clear, you're not a criminal. Should we run?
Looks taken aback and mildly insulted.
I assume you're not a
criminal. At this point, you would notice like a holy symbol that she's wearing. Holy symbol of Lyra. And she'd be like, I'm not criminal. No.
That's what I assumed. I assumed you're not a criminal. I just wanted to make sure.
They're about like 50 feet away at this moment, but they're all running towards you, weapons drawn.
I don't know how I want to play this. I feel like Zelf is like, the authorities, these guys can help us. But that doesn't seem like the mood they're giving.
They've
drawn
can
their
I
weapons.
Yeah.
They've chosen their own death, huh?
Can I insight check these guards to see if they're just, you know, if they're looking like to ask some questions and they just happen to have their weapons out, or if they seem to be like, them's the ones that did it, let's get them.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me that roll.
Is it standard operating procedure just have the weapons drawn?
Yeah, you know, because, you know, it might be like, you know, balance thing. And it's,
you know, icy road, running with a sword.
They're friendly.
Yeah, I mean, so on a one, yeah, you're oh, really no. not sure. You think maybe they're friendly. Maybe the kind of look of anger and fury on their faces is just because they're, you know, there's a fire and they want you to help.
Fires
with
make
their
people
bucket
angry.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Runa, look, it does kind of feel like that the innkeeper didn't believe we didn't set fire to the place, and also we left a dead body behind. Maybe we should go find somewhere safe. And like, do I know anywhere? So I would have been to East Haven in my travels before the hassle, we'll call it, that we've had for the last 10 weeks, looking for black ice. Do I know of any other safe houses or Harper, like Shebeens, or even a place in a woods near where we could hide out?
Well, this tavern has been the one that you've been using as the sort of half or outpost. But it's a large town. It's one of the largest towns in Ten Towns, so... Like, I mean, there's like 150 guards or something like that. Like, there's a lot of people here. So you could very easily lose them in the alleyways if you wanted to, or at least you could attempt to. I guess the speaker sort of gave you a sort of a goal in mind, and she also warned you about the guards particularly. Not the speaker, sorry. The leader of the Harpers.
She did, she said the new speaker seems suspicious, but you should go to the new speaker and give a speech. She said the guys were violent. She didn't say they're unreasonable.
Well, no, she said that the new speaker's house, she's worried, again, so the old speaker's been kidnapped or mm-hmm. disappeared, and she's worried about the new speaker's house and what's going on.
So, yeah, look, Runa, I think we should probably just maybe just run away a little bit and figure out what's happening with this weird draft. Apparently there's some magic beer that's making people go crazy.
I do not like this. I feel like we should be responsible and answer questions of town guard like reasonable people. But I am also not completely sure if they are being antagonistic or not.
Reasonable people?
I suppose... mean, it feels like this conversation has gone on a very long time. So they are they're within like 30 foot. They're gonna get here next round.
Okay. Look,
I suppose we can run and make formal report later and submit it.
I mean that we could, that sounds like a plan. But yeah, just to make sure we don't get caught.
You have small legs. Do you need help?
No, I think we can walk away and Zalfiz is gonna just look. The last time it was stressful, there was a fire. This time, look, and they're going to walk up and try and cast grease again in front of the guests. Running at
him. Okay.
As calmly initially. Let's see how this rolls. He may start sprinting very quickly, though.
Well, I mean, it's I think engaged. We're going to leave this scene as the guards hit the pool of grease and Ruda and Zalfiz take off full pelt into a nearby alleyway. We're going to move the camera back to Grayan and Gon as they approach, or do you approach, the frozen warehouse where the assassin disappeared into.
I would like to. I'd like to come down off the roof and with Graham, if he's willing, approach the warehouse that the assassin escaped into.
Yeah.
Can I outside? Can I do a perception roll on just on smell to see if I can like get any other sense of other people in there?
Yeah, give me that roll.
I've got advantage on perception. So I rolled a fuck. Jesus. I rolled a with the advantage. I got a 7.
Okay, so
as much as a cat can shrug, the lynx just like.
So the world does descend into kind of a haze of scents. And despite the kind of abandoned look of this warehouse, a lot of people have been going in and out in recent times, but you can't make out a distinction between which scents, not that of the assassin, not the others, because there are so many people who've been going in and out of here.
All right.
So paint a picture, this is your kind of, the assassin's entered by a side door. The front of the warehouse is a much larger set of huge double doors, which would be maybe like 15 foot high. There's obviously at least two floors of the warehouse, and there are these frozen windows probably leading onto the second floor. And then there's probably, and actually you can see on top of the roof of the warehouse, there are also frozen windows as well, like skylights.
Hmm. Think, do you plan to stay in that form, Gon?
I can.
I'm asking you in character. Meow? No.
Blink once for yes and twice for no. Blink.
Yeah. Well, you can still blink, blink. Can, can't you?
You said yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I will, unless like, yeah, like the cat nods.
Cat nods. Okay. Well, I'm going to go inside. I show my hat that I've revealed. It's the hat of disguise that I've taken from Lee's lifeless corpse. We're not going to stop bringing that up. So I put it on and I assume it transforms me entirely into whatever it is that I want to be, right?
Yeah, you can disguise yourself as a person. Yeah, you can't be like a giant or a mouse.
No.
But you can.
It can be one size up and one size down, can't it? Am I wrong in that?
I would have to look up the rules. Sorry, I've got a cat messing with all my life.
I have.
Kitty!
I have to spell this guy's self, so I can tell you.
Meow.
Yeah, meow.
You can seem 1 foot shorter or taller, appear thin or fat.
Oh, there you go, yeah. That's it.
Okay. I'll appear
the same size.
1 foot taller. Why not? So that puts me in the tall person.
What are you
range.
Disguising yourself as?
As one of the townsfolk with a big coat, and I'm gonna have a hood over me, and I'm gonna look like I'm just trying to find shelter from the cold, and I'm gonna enter in the side of the warehouse, the side entrance, not the front door.
The side entrance. Okay,
yes.
So the door creaks open, And are you stealthing or are you just kind of walking in?
I'm going to say stealthing. I don't want to make myself necessarily like obvious immediately, but yeah. I'm trying to pay attention, so I'm stealthing it in. It's a slow entrance.
So you've entered what seems to be a storeroom, and it's almost completely pitch black. Mm-hmm. You can see a few barrels in the darkness. Gon, are you going in with him?
Oh yeah, I slink in behind him and go straight into a shadow.
Okay, so right now, unless you've got a way of seeing in the dark, it's almost in complete darkness. You can just see the kind of arc of light in front of you that's mm-hmm. from the lights from the door.
I have dark vision as a cat.
You do? Well, he can't tell me anything because he's a cat, but...
Yeah, this is true. I cannot.
I will allow Gon to guide me in the room if you can see anything.
Yeah, I kind of like, within the light of the door still, I look back over and I kind of like, as much as the cat can indicate, I'm like, I just like...
My tail.
I just grab a tuft of like fur or the tail or something.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and I kind of lead him towards a... Basically, wherever I'm leading him, I'm making sure he's not going to be bumping into barrels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the room is quite large, maybe about 15 foot square. Along one wall are some quite large barrels have been stacked. And there's sort of a scraping on the floor, maybe where they've been rolled up to a set of double doors, which are about 10 foot high, and one of them is ajar. There is a shaft of light coming through there. You think this might be leading into the building as a whole.
Can I listen?
Yeah, give me a roll.
It'd be
perception.
Perception, yeah. I just want to see if I can hear something. Unfortunately, I don't have anything plus on that, but let's hope I just roll well. 19. Yeah, that'll do.
Okay. So you can hear a sound from the other room, like padding feet on stone ground. Mm-hmm. And there's a stop, and then there's the sound of maybe wood creaking, and then silence.
All right.
I mean, I'm guessing I'm gonna go up to that door, and I'm gonna try and peek through. Was there light coming through? You said it was slightly ajar, and there was some light leaking through. So what do I see?
So the frozen windows let in a sort of a myriad of light from the gas lanterns outside. Mm-hmm. And it shows a large warehouse, and in the center of it is a wagon loaded with the same barrels. And on top of it is the assassin. He's removed his blackened mask, and he appears to be a human. And he's sort of getting various clothes out from the wagon, and he's sort of getting ready to change, and he's placed his bow down on one side.
Can I stealth up behind and grab a hold of this assassin?
Yeah, give me a stealth roll.
How far away from the door is he, distance wise?
About 20 foot.
Perfect. 20 foot. That's exactly the number I wanted to hear, Joe.
So, oh dear, that's only a 10.
Well, it'll be versus his perceptions. Let's see how he does.
Oh dear.
Okay.
Dear me.
Natural one. Oh my god.
Okay.
No.
19.
when Gon notices this guy, Graham maybe trips over something or whatever. The second Gon notices this has gone awry, he uses his pounce and dives right at the man on the.
Wow.
On the 20 wagon.
Foot pounce.
Yep.
Okay, fantastic. So you leap from the air, striking him, and let's move the camera over to Runa and Zelfiz. You've lost your pursuers, the guards slipping on the grease. And found a cat. And where do you want to go? You've got about 90 minutes, maybe a bit more until the speakers...
Do you need to practice before you go speak to speakers?
No, I did a lot of elocution as a young gnome. My mother was very proud that we spoke properly. So I think maybe we could look into this weird potion thing that's making the guards all violent.
Oh,
the speaker's
yes.
home.
Perhaps we could do that. They do seem a bit more violent than normal.
Is Runa local? Are you local? I guess we can repeat.
Yeah, she's fairly local. She's not always lived in the town. she lives in Elias most of the time. Yeah, but she's of the Dale.
And we could say that you've been in at least Haven for a few days at least.
Yeah.
So you can have a choice. You can either try and go through the sort of main road to the... So the speaker's house is on... The new speaker's house is in quite the rich side of town. It's higher up. It's got a big view across the town. You can go there quickly along main roads, or you can go more discreetly through alleyways and things, but it's going to take longer.
I mean, look, we can sneak all the way there, but I mean... I am a 3 foot tall gnome with 6 inches of hair and a mechanical penguin, and you're like 17 feet tall.
Yes. I do not do the sneak thing particularly well.
Cool. Yeah, I think we try and get there as quickly as possible. And we've only got about 90 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to need you to give me a D20 roll. I don't mind who rolls it, but just give me the straight up roll to see if any guards...
You seem to have better dice luck, so leave it to you.
Sure. We will see how this goes. No,
there we go. There goes all the dice luck. By saying that, you've doomed it.
Yeah, it has earned my dice luck.
Well... Low is actually good in this case because you do come across two sets of guards. The first one are kind of coming out of an alleyway as you approach, and you manage to just duck behind a cart, and you do notice this strange green glow from their eyes. The second time you meet them is almost when you're approaching the square, and they're coming up the road at a jog, and again you just duck back into an alleyway, and they run
Damn
into
guards.
The no, this is a different set of guards.
Okay.
And they run into the square ahead of you. The speaker's square, let me just find my description. It's a really large square at the kind of rich end, the higher end of town. There's a number of large 2- and 3-story buildings around the outside of this large sort of 100-foot long open area. In the center of the square, there's a small copse of dying ornamental trees. You see two groups of guards are patrolling around the square, and you see at the far end, the speaker's house, which is a 3-story building, there's a small queue of people outside. A strange mix. Even from this distance, you can see that there's merchants, there's fisher folk, a couple of guards in the queue. There's even a family, probably maybe almost 20 people. Next to the house is a lower down building, probably a stable attached to it, with two doors that are closed. At this point, you're about 100 feet away, the other end of the square.
Should we join Q? It is quite a long one. It might take some time.
We could join the queue, or maybe we could try and find another way in. Can I actually see that poultice or that vial? See if I can actually figure out what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, if you can find a way of making some light or something like that, and then maybe sort of pulling out. I imagine you've got one of those little jeweler's magnifying glasses that you put up to your eye or something like that. Maybe it's a steampunk one, so it like zooms in.
I'm like definitely just. Character art has a monocle, right? I think it's described
as
a monocle.
Okay, yeah.
So I think I've got a monocle.
Yeah, you've literally got something in your hand doing that.
Yeah. So I can basically, what I'm going to do is bend down beside Lady Penguin, and her eyes, we talked about having kind of a glow or a flame at different points depending on what she's
going to do. Would you like me to light the torch?
No, she can help. Lady Penguin, Miss Penelope, is quite good.
No, she's also a lighter.
Yeah. and I'm going to just basically try and look through the liquid, holding it against her eye.
Okay. You can give me a perception or arcana roll. It's up to you.
Neither. Oh, +4. Let's go arcana though. With a +4, I got 16.
Okay, so the way that I want to flavor this is not that you're casting a spell on it, it's just that maybe your monocle has some sort of
I have a
magic.
RoboCop monocle?
Yeah.
I have a RoboCop monocle.
Oh my god.
And you zoom in and you see that initially it does appear to be water. There's no bubbles in it. There's no like oily residue or anything like that. And you shake it and look in. But then as you do look closer or zoom in it with your RoboCop monocle, you realize there's tiny specks of something. And at first you think it's sand, but then you recognize it. These are the tiniest shards of black ice.
If you want, I can drink it and you can discover effects that way.
My nickname's only the practical, it's not the moral, so don't tempt me. So it's tiny, it's basically powdered black ice, more or less.
But each kind of speck of powder takes on the form of a perfect crystal, imitating the one that you've got, or the ones that you've got.
I don't know what this is, but this black ice is ground into it, and it is an unbelievably powerful material. I don't know if it is wise to ingest. I don't know what it does. It might cure you of all your diseases. It might make you turn to ash. So let's not take that risk just now. I don't know how. Would I know any way of analyzing it short of not having my lab?
I think if you had your lab, you'd definitely be able to do some really in-depth analysis. But short of drinking it, or finding someone else to drink it, there's nothing you can do right now that I can think of.
Uh-oh. Okay,
look. Here's the deal. I'll keep this necklace because it helps my argument, and I might find a use for it. You can keep this little vial, unless you really need to. Don't drink it. Like it could. Like I said, like if it looks like we're gonna die. Maybe it'll call to try and drink it. Maybe it won't die. Maybe it'll die less painfully. Either way, it could be a win. Okay?
As you say this, you sort of...
frilly drink. Black ice. Like...
sounds like a teenage...
It's cocktail.
Like, yeah, like a hard lemonade. That's what it sounds like.
So as you say this, you sort of duck back into an alleyway as the patrolling guards come within, you know, about 30 feet of you as they make their circuit of the town square or the speaker square.
Can I look at the guards? Are they all human? Are they different races? What are we talking about here? Is there any gnome guards?
I'd say that there is a real mixture. So the three that have passed you, there's a dwarf, there's a human, and what you think might be a half-elf. But these three are in silence. That they're not chatting away, they're not smoking, they're just literally like sort of marching Wizard of Oz style around this...
So I'm gonna pull Runa into Nally. I have an idea. I don't know. Like, let's just bear with me. Tell me what you think. Can I stand on Lady Penguin and cast disguise self? Like, so I'm normal height now. Like, well, a short man, like 5'4", 5'5", and disguise self as a guard.
I think that's a seeing as there is actual like art of three kobolds in a trench coat as part of this campaign, I think a gnome and a penguin in a trench coat is totally on brand.
I like it. I think that's great.
I'm not saying this is what we do, but I can disguise as a guard, and let's say I apprehended you and we can skip the queue.
This sounds deceitful.
No, very much so. I'm glad you are impressed. It's for the greater good. The greater good isn't a good term. That doesn't sound very, very...
That's good. Not convincing, no. You've done very little to persuade me to do this very dishonest thing.
We're a team. I'm not trying to persuade anyone. I'm just coming up with solutions instead of knocking down things and presenting problems. Runa. If you have any solutions, that'd be very helpful right now.
We go... I do not see why we cannot just stand in queue and wait turn.
The whole assassin in 90 minutes mightn't be great. And apparently, my parents mightn't be getting married and I'm fading into the background. That's one of my lives to spell over. Sorry. There we go, we're back to those.
So perhaps we could ask nicely to be at front of queue.
Okay, how about you do that and I'll wait here and see what happens. If it works, call me and great. I look forward to you telling me I told you so. Deal? Either way, you get arrested inside the house, and I'm a guard and I follow you in. It sounds like you're the same idea, just different execution.
One sounds more straightforward and honest, which is what you should live your life by.
That ship has sailed, lady.
I will pray for you.
So what are you doing?
Runa's gonna go walk up to the front of the queue and say, excuse me, I have a very dire need to speak with speaker. Would you mind if I stepped cut in front of you?
So as you kind of march through the square and you notice that three of the guards that had been doing a circuit are now sat on a bench by these dead trees, and they look at you passing. They don't do anything, although one of them does clutch his weapon a bit tighter, and they stare at you as you pass by. As you approach the queue, you can see that it is moving slowly. And what they're queuing for is at the end, before entering the house, each person is taking a vial of liquid, or handed a vial of liquid, and they're drinking
it. Does it look like the vial of liquid I have?
It's exactly. You've got a matching one. And then they're sort of granted admittance to the house. And then the door is closed. And even this family is split up. So they have to drink, allowed in one by one, door closed. And there's three guards by the door who are sort of maintaining this queue.
Okay. Cool. Can I look at, look at my character sheet?
Is this a good time to take a break while you ponder what you're
going
to do?
Yeah.
And while Zalfir's waits in his trench coat, and while Graham and Gon prepare to battle the assassin.
That is all from us this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for playing, and thank you, everyone at home, for listening. You can find more of Lindy at LaughLoveLindy on Twitter, and she does a whole load of really cool RPG stuff, and definitely, definitely worth checking out. We'll be releasing the next episode very soon, but if you can't wait that long, you can find it right now on patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. It's the best way of supporting the show, and not only do you get early access to the episodes, you also get some Patreon-only content, including a Call of Cthulhu scenario GM by Scott Dorwood called The Space Between, and two completed Cult Divinity Lost scenarios which we played with Craig from Red Moon Roleplay. And this week we are releasing our third cult playthrough, which I'm very, very excited about. So yeah, please do check out patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. Again, thank you for listening, and we'll be back very, very soon.